welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining us, as always, is your co-host, Jim. Jim?
Also muted. There you go.
Jeez.
So I have... Oh, this is so loud.
What are you doing?
Well, I was watching a video on Kickstarter.
I thought you were still playing X3.
Oh, no.
I was going to tell you to stop.
No, I break for Pulsar. Great.
Joining us this week, we have two guests. You guys are brothers, right? I'm guessing by the last
correct,
name
correct.
Thing. George, yeah. George and Preston Stoll. I hope I said that right.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is Stoll or Stoll?
Stoll. Yeah, you got Stoll. It.
Okay. George and Preston Stoll, who are the programmer and the artist behind the game. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
And you guys just today, October 1st, a day which will live in infamy for a variety of reasons.
yeah.
Oh my God!
It you got a day.
You, wow, I know, right? Damn. But even so, it's still better that you launched on a Tuesday than on a Sunday because more eyes. You
we
know.
Think so.
Yeah. No, yeah. that was a much better call. You guys just launched your Kickstarter today for Pulsar Column Lost Colony, which is a procedurally generated co-op or single-player spaceship simulator fighter explorer thingy.
That's the gist of it, yeah. It's a lot of things, but...
It is a lot of things.
At the end of the day, it's walking on a starship and playing with your friends and adventuring the galaxy.
Now I gotta give you guys props. Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. What are you gonna say?
Oh, is this gonna be kind of like... you could maybe compare it to a first-person view of FTL? Multiplayer.
Yeah, you can certainly compare it to that.
Okay.
You compare it to sort of. I mean, you compare it to a lot of things, but FTL, Artemis. You know, even like some Star Wars Galaxies Jump to Lightspeed in there. We took just everything we liked and we sort of just threw it together and brewed it up and made something out of it. So.
Now I got to give you guys props because there I might be able to count on my hand the amount of space games that let you walk around inside your own ship.
Yeah, that was probably our biggest. I mean, that was something that we just that was our first thing. That was like, why can't we walk around in a cool spaceship?
Thank
actually,
you.
And actually fly it. I mean,
like look out the window while someone else is flying it, and or just we really wanted to capture that
the
feeling.
First thing we did in the game. Literally, it was just like a box walking around. Why, let's just get this working because to us that was just the most exciting thing. It was, I mean, to us, we watched Star Trek or Firefly or all these shows and they're walking around on spaceships and it's like, why can't I want to do that? I mean, I want to look outside the bridge. I want to feel like you're on it and
exactly.
I want to have another player fly it or me fly it or whoever fly it. I want to see it all happen. I mean, we're just so excited and we were like, let's just make it. Let's just do it. Like
we couldn't make it fast enough really.
And you put what, 3 months into it so far?
So far, yeah, that's
3 months.
I have to say, thank you for sending that pre-alpha for us to test out. I gotta say, after 3 months, I could see where this is going. Like I was saying beforehand, there's not anything really to do except to warp places and to shoot stuff. And shooting stuff, it took me a while to figure out. Like, oh, I have to arm the nuke. Oh, and then I'll just shoot at that other ship thing. Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're still working on the tutorial, actually, to explain
right.
how everything works.
But that was very cool. Yeah. I could walk up to that panel, arm the thing, arm the weapons, go to the navigation panel, hit tab, and then I'm controlling the ship. That was awesome.
I think at the core of the game is we really wanted to build – I mean, it's definitely a game, but perhaps even before that, it's a starship simulator. And what we mean by that is we build an actual starship. We try to make it work as much as possible.
Ooh.
And then you're just on it, and you run it, and you make mistakes. It's your starship, but you run it the way you want to run it.
I think I'm most looking forward to hearing all the mistakes people make, and because of that, the entire team and the entire ship just blows up.
We were trying to design the systems; so they have a lot of depth,
right.
But they're not overly confusing. That's the hope. I mean, we don't want to okay, here's like 10 screens you just look at. I don't even know what any of this stuff does. What's a reactor modulator? I don't know. But we want to try to make it presentable and easy to understand. But there's a lot of depth there in how you can actually twiddle. You can fiddle with all the buttons. You can adjust your setting. I mean, there's a lot to do. That's the goal.
Right.
But
I gotta say, I really dug the interface. So you can just walk up to something and with your mouse just manipulate screens. Just it felt very natural. You just walk up and click stuff, and you're giving your engines more power, or you're arming a nuke, or you're arming the warp drive.
But I have a concern about that, though, because they have Oculus Rift support. So does that mean that I'm going to actually walk up and headbang the consoles?
we have tested with the Rift. It's a little – you kind of have to aim your head. I mean, it sort of gets interesting, but –
So if I play this with some Slayer on, then the ship's going to be just out of control.
But it's going to be tough to actually have you going for. But, well, we have a few ideas for that. With one, for the Oculus Rift, basically we're sort of planning you're going to use a controller. I don't know if you guys have used the Rift or have played with it, but...
Sadly, I have not.
Using a keyboard and mouse when you're using the Rift, it's definitely possible, but it's not the easiest thing in the world to actually... accomplished. So,
you're not the first person to tell us that. You basically heard that you have to have a controller.
It's sort of like put on this like blindfold and try to figure out where your keyboard is. But so we're kind of planning that people use the controller, and we're building a system to sort of have an auto lock-on feature. So when you're using the HUD, you sort of have to aim in the general direction of the controller, and it sort of locks on. And we're trying to make it as easy as possible to use, so you don't have to be so precise. With the mouse and keyboard, it's easy to be precise, but with the controller, we're trying to make the controller as easy as possible, especially if we end up having the Xbox One and PS4 support. But we're trying to plan ahead there.
Oh, wait, are you going for a console release as well eventually?
Well, for our Kickstarter, one of our stretch goals is that. We don't want to just like, we happen to reach it. We're going to plan for it now. We're trying to plan ahead. And besides, we still want to support the controller anyway, even if we don't reach consoles. But because with the Rift, it's a lot easier to use a 360 gamepad is what we use most of the time, and it's just a lot easier because it's all in your hand. You know where all the buttons are. It's not like trying to find. Every time I use the Rift, it's like, where's the WD? Where's the WASD? I don't know. It's like hitting all the wrong buttons.
So have you talked to the console platforms already? Because I know PlayStation plans on being very, very friendly to indies, and Microsoft sounded almost like they were going to close the door on that.
Yeah, no, we're very optimistic about that, especially
PlayStation. We haven't talked to anyone yet, though, so it's still up in the air. And I think we mentioned there's no guarantees, but we're going to do our best to try to open those doors.
We're trying to be very open about our plans.
Yeah. What are you coding it in, Unity?
Unity, yep.
Okay. Because every time I see a Kickstarter that says Windows, Mac, Linux, and consoles, it's like, well, that's probably Unity. That seems to be the ubiquitous engine.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, especially Linux, yeah.
Well, we really liked the... Yeah, it's very cool to be able to use Unity considering it can support so many platforms. I think
we're super happy with it.
That's one of its strongest features of the engine.
I mean, funny enough, we actually... The development of this game started with the Unreal Development Kit. Uh-huh. And then... we ran into some technical constraints with trying to dynamically load content. And we sort of just looked at it and we're like, yeah, we want to support Mac and Linux. We couldn't get the Mac version of UDK to run correctly. It had, like, horrible performance. And we're just like, we didn't know what to do. We're like, we just hit a button and it makes the build. We have no control over what happens. So it's like, so we just went, let's just give Unity a shot. We used it in the past and it seemed like a good fit. And it ended up really working out for us. So...
Well, you said in the past, what other games have you made?
We worked on a bunch of little things. We worked on a few prototypes as Leafy Games. You want to run over that?
They were pretty much unreleased prototypes that we started. But one of them was a dungeon simulator for iOS.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was interesting because we never really worked on a mobile game. But...
in fact, we don't really play many mobile games, so it probably wasn't the best idea to make
so
one.
Was that in the vein of, like, Dungeon Keeper?
Absolutely. Okay. It was pretty much Dungeon Keeper on iOS with a few of our own twists.
You could probably break it down to that.
Oh, so when you're done with this, I want you to go finish that, because that would be great.
at least for me, I've had so much more fun working on this, but...
What about a space dungeon?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I think there is a...
Well, there's Maya.
Yeah, M-A-I, I think.
Yeah, they're doing sort of that, which is looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
So will there be a zombie mission? Like, you have to repel zombie borders from your ship?
We have no plans for zombies.
Oh, okay. Because I saw crew permadeath, and I was like, what about undeath? Because
ooh, well, there you go. But no zombies. But we have plans for something.
We have some cool, like,
sort of similar, but not really.
We have some interesting threats that you can face out in the unknown that we plan.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, because there was like you hit the P button and you can transport down to a planet. But apparently, somehow that always also transported you to like this base with this dead body in the middle of the room
and like a
distress call going off. What's up with that? What's going on there?
Well, we're trying to do some environmental storytelling there. We're sort of playing with what we want to end up doing with the game is that. Really, when you teleport down to a planet, it's sort of like anything can happen. You can teleport down to a planet. There could be people there. There could be, it could be totally empty, like how it currently is, because we haven't done the AI. But we really want it to be, like, totally unexpected. You really don't know what's going to happen. It's
in space or in planet, on planet.
Anywhere, really. I mean, that's a big part of the game is the unexpected.
And are the planets procedurally generated as well as the locations and the galaxy and everything?
Yeah, it's a mix. Meaning we create templates and then we sort of apply random attributes to those templates.
Oh, okay.
So we create planet type. So we have like sort of like a desert like planet. We have a forest like planet. Those are two in there right now, and we create a bunch of those different types, and we're going to sort of splice those. With things that could be on the planet. And then even the things on the planet can have different variations depending on just the seed of the galaxy and the seed of the scenario. So it's all a big seed system, which maybe that doesn't make any sense. But
no, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, because the seed just makes it so easy to sync multiplayer-wise. Just here's one number for the entire galaxy. That tells you everything in the galaxy. It's really convenient. But... and then also, if you wanted to, you could replay that galaxy later if you just put the seed back in.
Oh, very nice. Now, this is single player and cooperative player, so you can have different people doing different things with the bridge stations.
Absolutely, yeah. It's we're definitely designing it around a co-op experience, but we're also building a strong AI system to match so that. If you have three people, and it's a five-person crew, so if you have, get three friends together, maybe the other two are doing something else or whatever, you can fill them up with AI, and they're at least competent. They could do the job. It's always we're definitely designing the game to be a co-op experience. We think that's going to be the most fun. It's going with your friends. You get to have, you get to argue about what you're going to do. Should we attack the ship? Should we stay back? Should we we want to give some really interesting choices, and then we're trying to make the actual classes of the game sort of play with each other in a unique way. Like, we have the captain role, and he's sort of, at the end of the day, he's making the decisions. So, we think that's going to be a very interesting paradigm in how the players interact with each other, because...
What if a crew member doesn't want to follow the captain's orders? How is that going to pan out? And so mutiny, perhaps, who knows?
We don't want all the classes to just be copies of each other. We want them to really feel differently and almost be like sort of like a slice of a whole game. I mean, they have their own screens, their own role, and we want them to interact with each other in a very unique way. So, the captain's giving the orders. Everyone has their own thing. So...
Now, if you wanted to just be the only person on a ship and try and do everything yourself, could you do that too?
Yeah, in fact, that's one of our... We hope to have challenge modes in the game, and one of them is called Captain's Challenge, where it's just you, who is the captain, alone on the starship, trying to run around, trying to do everything by yourself.
I think it's going to be hilarious. And, I mean, it's not designed for one person, so it's like, you can do it, but good luck. So you get to run around and tweak the engine reactor levels or weapons. It's going to be crazy. So
besides the big procedurally generated story mode, you're going to have other game modes as well, like the one you just mentioned?
Mainly that's how you play. You would go through that random galaxy alone, juggling five separate jobs as yourself. It's meant to be sort of ridiculous. You're not really supposed to survive very long.
But people want a challenge. It's a challenge. So
and you can also play with AI, like my brother mentioned.
Yeah, so you can play either way. But the captain's challenge, you know, I don't know. If someone really wanted to punish themselves, like, you could do it. Or if they just wanted to see if they could, how long they could last. I mean,
I even think FTL has a. It's kind of like a. It's not. I don't think it's built in, but you can
basically just kill your own crew.
Yeah, you can like just suffocate the rest of your crew at the beginning of the game and just play it just with the captain,
yeah.
Or just with one crew member.
I think the captain's challenge emerged because when we're debugging the game without AI, we're playing alone. I mean, a lot of times. Sometimes we play co-op, but if you're just debugging the game and you know, add a feature to see if it works, we're playing alone, and it's like so that sort of emerged. It's like. We sort of gave ourselves the captain's challenge, and we're like, okay, well, this is sort of interesting. Let's put this in the game. But we think it'll be cool.
Well, that might make for some interesting balance challenges, too, though, because if you can test it in single or co-op, and then whenever you unleash, like, five people in the game, how do you keep five people busy with one person?
It's sort of... It's not really... that's part of why the captain's challenge isn't really meant to be balanced. I mean, that's... I think... For us, that's sort of the point.
Mm. It's meant to just be, you're going to fail, but it's just, how long can you survive?
The game is balanced so that you need a full crew complement to really succeed. I mean, that's where balancing it to, difficulty-wise. And then the captain challenge is just, hey, if you want to do this, we're not saying it's going to be doable.
Right.
Or maybe you could do it, you could last a few jumps and then you're done. But,
But you're going to need some beta testers to figure out whenever it comes time to actually tune the difficulty to get five people.
Absolutely.
I mean,
now how will the difficulty scale? Is that going to be like in the toughness of the enemy ships that you face, or the number of, or how do you plan to do that?
It's a mixture of things, but certainly the difficulty of the enemies. You know, the AI is totally scalable, although we don't plan to do much of that. More than anything, it's the galaxy is split up among the factions, and certain factions they're not necessarily difficulty based, but they provide a different set of challenges that you may not be prepared for. So depending on the faction you choose, you're going to have different strengths and weaknesses. For example, there's the Alliance of Gentlemen. They're more of like a freelancer pirate mercenary.
Do they wear monocles?
I love that name, by the way. That's a great name.
Perhaps they wear monocles, but we plan on having a little bit of customization. But we haven't really touched on that yet. That's something we want to get the game fun before we do that. But what was I saying?
Challenges.
The Lots of Gentlemen. Yeah, they have a different play style. They play more of a stealth way. They usually don't carry nukes with them because they set off radiological alarms. They try to sneak. They try to teleport onto your ship before you even know they're there, basically. And they'll do this to you, too. The AI will be designed for each faction to play sort of as the faction. And, but as a player, you don't have to play that way. So, I mean, there's nothing preventing you from just running in there with the gentleman ship and doing your own thing. So at the end of the day, there might be new strategies that evolve, and we're hoping for that.
Oh, yeah, because you can apparently steal anybody's ship. And make it your own, huh?
You can steal any ship. Yeah. So if you find a ship, you can take it, it's yours. And you can warp out with it, and now that's your ship.
Well, how do you do that? By disabling them in space combat, or do you actually have to board and shoot the crew?
Well, there's a number of ways. You could potentially, if you don't want to necessarily board their ship, you could just take out their life support systems and just suffocate them and then run in there and repair them when they're dead, potentially. And then the ship is yours. Based on which ship you choose, say if you have both ships survive the battle and it's just your crew left, whichever ship that you jump to the next location with will now the game will consider your new ship.
Oh, okay. But how do you get from your ship to their ship? Do you teleport, like go into a planet, or do you actually have to cross that space?
Yeah, you teleport.
Oh, okay.
Think of Star Wars. I mean, Star Trek.
Jeez. The teleporter system isn't really implemented. That's why it's just a key. It won't be a key in the end thing. You'll go up. There'll be a screen. You stand on a platform, and you know, it activates a teleporter. So okay. There's going to be a lot more of a system there. You can go, hey, teleport to the planet, teleport to the ship. If there's multiple ships, select which one. Or even in certain, you can actually upgrade and swap out your teleporter. We call it a component. So there's certain things in the ship that you can swap out. So there is the stealth teleporter. So you can teleport on their ship and have a lot less chance to activate their boarding alarms. So like, there's definitely, we're trying to unlock different play styles. So you can swap out components to your ship. It's almost like an RPG or something where you're swapping out weapons or spells or something.
So,
but swapping out just components of your ship.
So is the galaxy going to be laid out sandbox? Like I can choose anywhere on the map to go? Or is it more like a branching, you know, like you completed this mission, now you must choose path A or B?
It's a good question. From what we have so far, basically you, when you start, there'll be like a number of different points you can choose. But you can always return to a point that you've been. As long as you have like a certain set of coordinates, you can warp back there, is the current plan for the game.
Okay, so like I could go back to my base and fix my ship and then come back.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
Yeah, there's certain, we call them hubs in the game, probably about 5, 6 or so. And those they're in every galaxy will have these hubs. They won't necessarily be in the same spot, but every galaxy will have them.
They're one of the only persistent elements to every galaxy.
Yeah, at any point you can, we haven't fully finalized it, but the way I understand is at any point you can warp to them.
Oh,
even
okay.
if you're not. You can warp to them at any point, from any other point.
This might change, though, based on...
You may have to discover some of them or something. Okay. It might be not quite that black and white.
Yeah, because you were talking about ship upgrades, and I was just thinking, like, well, does that mean, like, I fly back to a base where there's a merchant and go shopping? Or how's that going to work?
You can find the components. You could buy them. You could trade for them. But you can't upgrade mid, like, battle or anything like that. You have to find an upgrade bay to upgrade. So you can't, you can't swap them out just while you're in the middle of space. But you could find them. You could store them. And then when you go find an upgrade spot, you can go ahead and swap them out and change your build or whatever.
Oh, okay. So is there going to be a story to this, or is it sort of a horde mode of just, like, see how long your crew can survive against ever-increasing star systems that open up?
It's sort of a mix. There's no, like, guided campaign, per se. But there is an objective. I mean, it's to find the lost colony. It's been essentially randomly generated in every galaxy. You don't know where it is. And there will be clues laid out across the galaxy that you can find. It'll sort of help you narrow down your search. But at the end of the day, a lot of the story is sort of as you come across scenarios and events, that will sort of be your story. I mean, a big part of the game is that you sort of make your own destiny as you go through. And a lot of times, there's really no preset. You know, you meet this character, you meet him later, and anything like that. It's really more, you run into this, you find an abandoned space station, and do you board it? Yes. Then you board it, and then who knows what's on it, you know. It could be a plague, a fire, you know, alien, whatever, you know.
I vote zombies.
A lot of it is, well.
Just getting that out there, space zombies.
Probably not zombies.
We're, we could have something like that, maybe. Yeah, who knows?
Perhaps.
We're going to have a lot of ideas. We're going to come up with tons of stuff to encounter, so.
Totally. And then there'll be, like, weird stuff you find, too. I mean, I think Star Trek did a great thing where, you know, sometimes just episodes, just weird stuff. I mean, they're stuck in a time loop, or they go through a wormhole, and now they're 3 billion light years away. They don't know how to get
back. You know, actually, you gave me a killer idea in thinking about that, of, like, whenever it procedurally generates the next mission that it's going to give you, it could actually make a title out of like a random title generator, and it could be like the space wormhole or, you know, or whatever. And then it's like, well, that tells you what like the bad thing is there or whatever gets generated, the theme of.
Yeah. Well, totally. We do plan on having sort of, you could think of them like sort of like quests. So you could pick up at different spots, bars or, you know, the hubs, as Forrest mentioned. But, and those will probably have a name similar to that.
Yeah,
but,
well, because if each system's going to have, like, one, like, mission that you encounter or something that's tied to it, it would almost be, like, each system could be, like, an episode
or
something.
I mean,
because you're going to have to break... When you got, like, 5 people and you're trying to herd cats to get people to play a game, you know, like, how long are you going to be able to keep the group together before somebody's got to go take care of their kid or, you know, or whatever? Like, I run into that constantly with the people mm-hmm. that I game with.
Yeah, totally.
So
yeah.
So it's the thing of like you need breakpoints or something in there. It, just in any kind of game. That's why I find myself gravitating toward things like MechWarrior or Call of Duty or whatever, because it's like a map lasts X amount of minutes, right?
Or so, just have a, or just be able to save anywhere. Like, yeah, oh, we got to go. Yeah.
Well, are you going to be able to handle, like, hot adding people? Like, let's say there's two of us playing and then a third friend comes online. Can you just, like, drop in the game and it'll assign him to a crew member that's open?
Potentially. We're still not sure how it's going to work, mainly because we want to have crew members be able to upgrade themselves. I know a few games have done it before where you can drop in and, like, it'll sort of scale it so that that guy still isn't, like, completely hopeless if he doesn't have any talent points to assign or anything.
Mm.
But I would like that feature. I think, you know, that would add more to the game.
Yeah. It adds a lot more flexibility to how you can play. Someone drops out, oh, let's bring this other guy in. Bam, now we're still ready to go.
Yeah. So it would be almost like back with the original Diablo, where you kept your character on your machine, and it would plug it into whatever game that you joined, right? And it was kind of the honor system that you didn't hack your dude.
Potentially, yeah. But I think for our for Pulsar, the character you create and that you upgrade will die if the crew dies.
Yeah.
And you might need to start a new character. There might be some persistent elements outside of that, but...
So you're going to burn through a lot of characters, basically.
Probably, yeah.
It's like, be ready to die. You know, don't get too attached. But
in some ways...
That would be great, though, for like, you know, friends beating each other up. Because it's like, it's you let us all die, you bastard, you know?
Exactly.
That's a big, yeah.
Yeah, because a party wipe in this, it's like, oh, permadeath for all our dudes, great, you know?
Don't play a little more cautiously. Don't get too attached to anybody, basically.
That's how I play XCOM, too, man. It's like,
yeah.
I only name them people that I don't like, because I know everybody's going to die.
I should try that with FTL, now that you say that. Because I keep naming the people after people I like, and when they die horribly, I just feel
like, no.
I just feel terrible, and I weep in a corner. And
that's tough, man.
So, what kind of missions are you gonna and challenges are you gonna be able to do in the game? Is it gonna be like, are you gonna go to a bar and get a quest, or are you gonna find a random quest, like a random quest through like someone broadcasting a distress signal, stuff like that?
Oh yeah, all that stuff, man.
Yeah, we want the system to be very organic. You don't really know when you're going to get a quest. You just warp to the sector, and then there's going to be something here. It could get a quest. Could just be someone killing me. It could be some crazy wormhole thing that just sucks me in or whatever. I mean, a lot of it is you don't really know what's at the other end. I mean...
Oh, I like that.
And you just got to be prepared. You just got to Everyone, get ready. Really, we're going.
I'm really excited for the morally gray or the questionable ones.
Ooh, really? Like, what's an example? Is that like, what was that one episode where of Deep Space Nine? Did you guys watch Deep Space Nine?
We're on the way. We're on Generation right now. We watch one every day for lunch.
Oh wow!
It's perfect for ideas. we're still pretty new to the whole Star Trek thing.
Oh, wow. Well, where are you in Star Trek? A little aside here. Where are you in Next Gen?
We are on the... it's elementary, my dear Data.
Oh, you're still in season two.
Oh, wait. That's right. Yeah, we're watching on two separate computers. We switch every now and then.
Oh.
So we're in season two right now, but...
We're also on, like, season five. It's like we're jumping all over the place.
So. Oh, okay.
Not much continuity there, but you don't really need much, I guess.
Not really. I mean, there are a couple episodes where a character shows up twice.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing about Deep Space Nine. I was just going to mention a thing from it, but now I won't because I don't want to spoil it for you.
Oh, man.
Deep Space Nine gets really gray at some points.
That's awesome.
And it's got a lot of continuity as well. Like in the beginning of season six, there's like a six episode arc.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's unusual for Star Trek.
Oh, it's very unusual for Star Trek, yet it works so well.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, you should be. But there was a bit with Sisko where something morally gray he was so mad about something. I can't say more than that. God,
all right.
Damn it. But that's what I was thinking of when you say morally gray, like, ooh, will I have to bomb a population?
Exactly. You know, example we can give.
Brian makes out Deep Space Nine like it's Breaking Bad in space, and Odo is Walter White.
I haven't watched Breaking Bad, but Deep Space Nine is the best of the tracks. I'm just gonna throw that out there right now. Best of all of them.
Well, because Nana Visitor's on it.
What was that?
Because Nana Visitor's on it. Right.
She is.
Exactly. All right,
That's Major Kira for those for you guys. Once you get there, maybe you'll understand. Maybe.
Cool. I'm sure we will.
But so sorry. Go ahead. We're talking about the morally gray stuff.
Yeah, sure. An example we were talking about earlier would be, let's say you are the captain of like the Colonial Union ship, like the Intrepid. One of like, although we're probably going to change these names because we're finding out that they're all. Already in Star Trek, these ship names, but
they have a lot of ships.
They sure do. We looked at
them. They took all the good names.
It's crazy.
what were we saying?
So let's say you get a transmission from like HQ saying you need to destroy a ship, like, but it's a civilian ship, mainly because they went too close to a sector that was quarantined for like, let's say, a disease or something.
Oh, nice.
So. They didn't go into it, but they were close, and it's gray, and you're not sure. And HQ, like literally, the people they're basically like the law, the policemen, the government or whatever, is ordering you to take them out, you know, before they reach a planet. And that's a pretty. We think that's going to add some interesting dynamics to the game.
Sure. I mean. You're a huge fan of the new Walking Dead games, and they strive.
I heard those are excellent. I'm not a fan of zombies or Walking Dead. Unlike Jim, I'm not a fan of zombies. I love that kind of moral ambiguity. Now, like, if you decided not to destroy that diseased ship, would you become a fugitive in the eyes of your faction, for example?
Yeah, you would actually.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah, the Colonial Union would, if you ran into another Union ship, they would potentially hunt you down.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you would lose the benefits of being in the Colonial Union. So, like, there are certain faction benefits. Like, say, you can go to a Union station and get an allocated amount of supplies for free. You know, because you're part of this organization. That you would potentially lose that privilege, along with a bunch of other things, and
you sort of become a rogue pirate. Just I want. If you want those things, you gotta go take it now. You can't. Then I can just give it to you. So you can still take it, but now it's a new set of challenges because you chose not to do that. And there could even be consequences based on letting that ship go through. The disease actually, you know, could actually start to spread and could cause you issues later. So it could be very interesting, the choices. I mean, we want to make them really important. So even just something that doesn't seem like it's the end of the world could end up 15 jumps later. Whoa, okay.
Have you ever played the game Weird Worlds Return to Infinite Space?
No, we haven't.
Oh, you guys should.
You need to, like, baste in that for a while, and it will answer many of your questions about how should we do this. Because it's
Weird Worlds, what was it?
Yeah, Weird Worlds in Infinite Space. They also have a Kickstarter going on. Or,
awesome. Oh, no, they did. They did.
It sounds so familiar. That must be why. Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, they just did a Kickstarter a while back for the third one, but the second one is $10. Like, did you ever play Starflight or Star Control 2, either of those?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
Do you?
They're looking pretty young, Grandpa, so you might have to explain.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Let me ask, how old are you guys?
21.
22.
Oh.
Yeah, they didn't play that. Have you ever seen a floppy disk?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
A long time ago.
Yeah. So
back when games were only in the K and not the gigabytes. They were only kilobytes. I just posted a link to the game.
I got it.
Yeah. So it's...
What's interesting about this game is that it's a single serving. They took a game that would be giant, like a Starflight or, you know, Master of Orion kind of thing, and they bake it down into a 20-minute thing. It's just like 20 minutes. You're in and out. Hit as many planets as you can. You've got a limited fuel supply. Every time you get to a planet, it'll be you discover this thing, you fight something, you know, just a single thing happens, right?
You have a limited amount of time, not fuel time.
Oh, is it time or?
I believe it's time. Yeah, you have to get back to base before your time runs out, or
get
in trouble or something.
All right, but it essentially a limited fuel supply. You can only do so much, right?
Yeah.
Because traveling eats time, so it's kind of neat.
That's really cool.
It's kind of like the checkers version of the chess that you're trying to make.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. We're going to look at this. This is looks pretty.
You can get it on PC or iPad or whatever suits you.
Wait, it's on iPad?
Oh yeah, I've had it on iPad since day one.
I completely forgot about that because I don't have one.
And it's a perfect iPad game because it's a 20-minute single serving thing. And
now, if they made it for the Vita, then I'd be really happy. I don't know how they do that, but they should make it for the Vita. Just saying. Just saying. So that sounds awesome. So like you could have stuff like there's an asteroid going to kill a planet, but the asteroid has a colony on it. What do you do? You know.
Perfect. Yeah. Throw in the game.
I love it. See, that's great. Now, will you have a reputation that's tracked with these different factions, including your own?
We are planning on having like a rudimentary reputation system that will follow you throughout the game based on the choices you make.
Nice.
Potentially, when it comes to like hailing ships, you could potentially try intimidating the other ship, or influencing through dialogue. We're gonna have a simple dialogue tree.
Very nice.
But that can be that can come to.
Yeah, and then based on your reputation, they might have heard of you before and go, okay, well, I'm not going to mess with this guy. This guy's got a reputation. Like, I'll offer him, you know, hey, leave me alone. I'll give you 500 credits. It's like,
I wanted to ask, jump into another topic. In the alpha you sent, one of the crew guys, I think it was the engineer, he had a radial menu where you click on his face and, like, there's, like, four options to boost engines or boost weapons, I think. There's four of those options.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for all of them? Like, if you click on the pilot, it'll be like, exactly. Set course for, you know, if you click on the weapon.
If you click on them, the current system is that if you left-click on them, it gives them class-specific commands. If you right-click on them, it gives them general commands. And then this command system will actually still work with players. Actually, that's a big part of the game. As the captain, you can go up. And even if the engineer could be obviously if it's a bot, that just feeds into their AI system and they go do it. But if it's a player, it shows up on their HUD. You've been given a command, increase shields, or, you know, start charging the warp drive, etc. You know, any command relative to your class, of course. You know, the pilot, right. You know, evasive maneuvers or anything like that. The command system will sort of have a double purpose there. It works on bots and players. We needed a way to a nice, easy, simple, quick way to give the bots commands without, you know, typing something or accessing some sort of weird menu. So I think the radio menu system works pretty nicely.
It does.
We have four directions so that it's really quick. You can just go click up, click right, or right click. The idea is that you essentially sort of get used to it. You can sort of just issue commands like really quick.
It's still early in development though.
Yeah,
so,
it's still pretty early, but it's partly there.
Oh, another good example of that sort of thing, just to give you guys some inspiration. Have you guys played SWAT 3 or 4?
We've actually been looking at, I think it was SWAT 4.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at it because it had a very interesting VIP mode.
Oh, yeah, the VIP mode in that game is nuts.
We were looking at that a while ago because it was funny. The original version of Pulsar was actually sort of like way different than what it is now.
Oh, really?
It was sort of like a team deathmatch objective shooter with sort of asynchronous objectives for the teams. But we just love the idea of, I mean, basically what it came down to was this idea of competitive versus cooperative. We love the cooperative aspects of what we were creating. The competitive parts gave us all the trouble. we had a small group of testers, and so every week we'd send out a new build, and every time we changed something, it was like
no one was happy.
It was like, oh, we boosted the damage of the heavy pistol, and it's like everyone is like, no, I loved it.
And this was, keep in mind, this was like maybe like 5-7 people. Imagine if we were getting this kind of anger and this kind of like response from just this small group of people.
Just a small tweak to something, and we're like, just Calm down, guys. We're just tweaking stuff. Just we felt it needed more damage. And looking at the statistics.
And like I think there's websites that for Call of Duty, for developers, they get tweets about they get death threats when they nerf.
I saw that. Jesus Christ.
It's scary stuff. I mean, we were a little, kind of second guessing making them.
And then there was so many balancing issues, and we had to just, everything had to be perfectly balanced. We just didn't want to worry about that so much. I mean, when you make a competitive game, we were spending so much time just getting the lag and networking just perfect. We couldn't, if anything lagged, people would get so mad. It was no, it's your fault, you lagged. I think at the end of the day, we just sort of went, let's just make a cooperative game. Let's just make a game where you just play with your friends and you're fighting AI. It'd just be so much that was this part we loved about it, was working with your team, working together. And it was, we love competitive shooters.
So what about a game where you beam down to a planet and pick flowers, with your friends? And you look at the clouds. And, it could be a totally peaceful game. You wouldn't even need zombies.
As long as you did. Well, you might as well.
You could,
zombie flowers.
No. As the scientist in Pulsar, you could potentially do that.
You could pick flowers and analyze them for upgrades.
research.
But that was a big part about the game. We realized that we love competitive games, but we're not a big enough studio to perfectly balance something as big as we wanted to do. And we went, let's focus on the cooperative aspect. And that's really what birthed this game, was how can we make a game that's so, works so well with your friends, and we love the idea of space, and we love the idea that we're creating a ship with unique systems, and we just really extended that, and that's what Pulsar is today. But
we started development on the new Pulsar, what it is today, in early July, and then that's what we consider the 3 months of development time that we mentioned in the video.
Oh, okay.
Just
We worked a few months before that on the old version. We sort of just scrapped it. Let's just make it better. Let's just make a better game.
It's also just really hard to explain the old one. It fell into the bucket of generic sci-fi shooters. When in reality, there were some really interesting gameplay mechanics, but they were just so hard to describe. Because you're on a spaceship.
You could fly, you could board other ships, airlock. It was a lot of cool stuff, but it was we can't explain it in a sentence. It's just impossible. It's you have to watch the video. You have to play it. But this one, I think it's a lot easier to explain. So we hope.
No, it is. I mean, basically, it's a cooperative or single-player starship sim, first-person shooter adventure.
There you go.
Yeah.
We tell our
it's a lot easier than the old one.
our parents and the older relatives in our family, think of Star Trek, but you get to walk on the bridge, and they tend to get the idea. They would have never gotten the old version. No matter, it's asynchronous team based multiplayer deathmatch sci fi shooter.
Where you could take over different parts of the ship.
Yeah.
Based on it's I don't even know. But we had to do it. We learned to live and learn. So,
Now, what are some of the different ships you can fly? Because it sounds like you said you could steal all these different ships. What are some of the different ones you could play with? Because I've only been able to see one so far. In the
The current build, you're playing as the gentleman ship.
Okay.
And each faction has multiple ships. We've only created one for each faction currently, but some of the factions don't even have one yet. But each faction will have 2 to 3 ships in the end, of various sizes and abilities. But a lot of how the ships play and look and feel is dependent on their faction.
And the ideologies behind that faction. One of our factions, we call them the WD Corporation, and they're incredibly militaristic. Their motto is progress above all. And they're the number one manufacturer for weapons in the galaxy.
Yeah, weapons and defense technologies. They run a huge mining operation.
There's been lots of reports that they don't treat their employees very well. I mean, they have that kind of feel to them, and you can play as them too, which is interesting. But and the design for the ships are very angular, and almost in a way sort of intimidating looking, and they're much bigger. They're the biggest ships in the game, and they have the biggest weapons, and we think it fits that idea, those ideals.
On paper, it's sort of like they're sort of like the brute force, just strength and huge amounts of health and weapon power, but they have a lot of weaknesses. I mean, it's funny because their ships are really large, and that's a strength, but it's also a weakness, because you actually need to walk around in these ships. You need to go to the engines. It takes you longer, because they're literally farther away. So they're hard to navigate and run in a certain way. So they're certainly the most powerful ships, but they certainly have weaknesses as well. And, they can't even stealth. I mean, the ships they're designed to go in there and just kill everything. They can't sneak around. They can't.
Good luck. Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck. But
you need to hide behind a planet if you want to.
Pretty much. So a lot of how the ships operate and run is based on the ideology of their faction. I mean, for example, like the Fluffy Biscuit Company.
I was just about to ask about them.
their ships are. They're not as obviously as strong as the corporation. They're mainly as delivery ships. You can play them, of course, and they certainly have combat ability too. We haven't really got into them yet, but they do have a sort of secret attack. we're going to be posting the concepts for that during the Kickstarter.
Flood enemy ships with the smell of biscuits and disarm and calm down the entire crew and make them...
It's certainly the direction, but they have some interesting attacks that are sort of you wouldn't expect. And that's sort of the whole Fluffy Biscuit idea, right? It's like, oh, this is a weak little, basically, ice cream truck in space. But they can kill you. if you don't watch out,
space is a dangerous place. We can
put you in touch with the developers of Galactos, and maybe they can give you some cupcake models. Because have you seen it?
Galactos?
Yeah, it's you fly a cupcake spaceship, and it's a food fight between the space broccoli and wholesome things and the desserts.
That is
and they
so
have
cool.
Not even making Galactos. That up.
Okay, I get it.
Not even
and they have
that
pie
up.
Fighters.
Okay, oh my god! You're looking at the chemical makeup.
Okay.
And waffle bombers and or whatever they were. Yeah. Oh my god.
But they search. Oh man, these
pastries
guys.
In space. That's so cool.
These guys copied us.
So you said, I'm sorry, you said that the biscuit company, the Fluffy Biscuit Company, they're more like couriers, I think you said, or transports? Does that mean there are going to be missions where you're asked to transport cargo or there's maybe trading or something?
Most certainly, actually.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't mean you won't get in trouble on the way, but...
Of course.
Yes,
well, space is a dangerous place.
As we said, yeah, space arrives. They are mainly a delivery company.
They deliver food mainly. They're the largest food distributor in the entire galaxy.
Yeah. They basically.
So you can run to a ship and you're like, "Can I take your order?" You know.
Another ship will come up and they may pay, they might not. Well, get your money, right?
I can't wait to see
how people.
Yeah, a captain of a Fluffy Biscuit ship. Defeating the galaxy, finding the lost colony.
It's going to be awesome. Totally doable.
It kind of hints at we don't want this game to be taken too seriously. It's a game after all, and it should, it should be fun.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be all you kind of feel bad after playing it or whatever. You know, we want some laughs in there too.
It's because it's already brutal. We might as well have fun, right? I mean, we don't want to we died. Oh no! It's like we don't want you to get all it's gonna be fun. Oh, we died, but we're playing a biscuit delivery ship. Really, how bad could it be, right? Or whatever type of ship, So they're certainly one of my favorite factions. I can't wait to show what we got cooking there.
Let's see. So I think we've talked about all the factions except for the Polytechnic Federation.
Yes. We won't be talking about that. We had to keep something. We wanted to keep them for the game itself. So they're a very interesting faction as well. And we wanted, you know, we're very open about the development, but we want to keep something for when you just load the game up. What is this? What is the Polytechnic? I don't know. Like, I mean, we want to keep something secret, but they're pretty cool too. I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with them.
They're certainly, they play, I think we've come up with a very unique play style for them that's very different than the other ones. And they're the hardest faction to unlock, and you will encounter them in the game, but it may be a while before you unlock them. Mm.
Now, to unlock a faction, like if you wanted to switch factions or something, you have to do missions for them, like in game.
The way to unlock a faction is you unlock any of their ships.
Oh, okay.
And the ships have a variety of ways to unlock them. For some ships, you just have to find them. For others, you have to do a mission, or you have to do, there's something, there's a secret you have to find. And each ship varies dramatically, depending on the faction, depending on the ship itself and its purpose. But we're trying to make a story behind each ship, a history of why is this ship how it is, and why is that important. And part of that will be how you actually get the ship. So,
a few ships will be pretty easy to unlock, though. So if you started the game and you don't want to play as like the default faction, which is the Colonial Union, within like a few minutes, you can probably
perhaps
figure out if you really wanted to play like Fluffy Bis.
Each of the factions have, except for the Polytechnic, has sort of an easy ship to unlock. It's not you know, automatic, but if you try, you can usually pull it off. Maybe not your first time you play, but once you get a little bit of
you can kind of look at it like an FTL, how to unlock those ships. It's sort of similar,
Right. Yeah, kind of like encounter something, you have to do something. There's a process. You don't always know what that process is. I mean, unless you like look it up or something.
Now, what are the boarding actions going to be like? Because the Alpha had a gun. It didn't do anything, but it had a gun.
Yeah.
So, are you going to be, when you're stealing a ship, do you have to, I mean, if you don't knock out the life support.
You can board them, and then you can shoot them, right? I mean,
you can go over and give a PowerPoint with that space laser pointer that you got in there now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
You could put them to sleep.
It'll do things. But you can fight. I mean, there'll be a variety of different weapons in the game. The laser that's in the Alpha is sort of like the basic one, and you can find more along the way. It's a laser-based one. There's bullet-based ones, and the weapons specialist can actually dual wield. So. he doesn't, a lot of the classes have a sensor in their left and a weapon in their right. The weapon specialist can then optionally have dual wield.
So are you going to do, for the characters, because you're talking about upgrading their skills and that, are you going to do sort of a Diablo-style skill tree that they actually get experience and unlock?
It's going to be similar to that. We don't want to necessarily do a leveling system, but it's going to be based on either finding things or based on successful mission completes. There's going to be a very simple way to advance your character. It's not going to be, you don't get experience or anything like that. We don't really want to do that. We want to be a little more of a concrete way to increase. You sort of do it all at once.
Okay, so let's say I'm the science guy, but I would like to learn some engineering skills because we got a bot doing it and he's not really good at it or something. So am I, as a scientist, am I completely locked out of any of the things that the engineer does, or do I just pay more experience to get them, or I can get them and I suck at them?
That's an interesting question. We didn't consider that.
Currently, there's no way for a scientist to unlock engineering upgrades. They could still use the engineering screens and perform the role. They just wouldn't be able to get the upgrades.
But are they denied the use of certain equipment that the engineer could pick up?
Potentially, yeah. Most equipment probably won't be locked like that, but things that are specific to the class could be locked. I mean,
in a way, if you wanted to play with just three friends, we could probably figure out a way to, let's say, two of those people could, let's say,
dual class.
Yeah, in a way,
potentially
that could be an
option. We've talked about it a little bit. We haven't really settled on what we want to do with it yet, but. We definitely see that there's a want to you know, perhaps you don't want to have two AI in there. You just want to do it yourself. And if you want to do that, you know, have a way to fill those roles with a three-man team. That's definitely interesting.
Well, it could almost be like if you do it with less than the full crew complement, then you get awarded additional experience so that you level up at a faster rate too. So, yeah.
Potentially, yeah.
Like whatever, like 5 points have been, or like 5 level up points or whatever we're going to have for the game would be awarded. But since there's only 3 people, two of them would get 2 points. Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. Depending on how they're, you know, with their dual classing or
that
or
perhaps a potential way we could handle that.
Or perhaps there's just a way, perhaps it just defaults to your class tree, but then you can just hit a button and go, oh, I want to put a point into another tree. Potentially, there's really no technical reason why we couldn't do it. We just sort of have to, we'd probably just try it out and see how it feels. But certainly no reason why we couldn't.
So there's going to be online leaderboards, your Kickstarter says.
Yeah.
What are the measures of success in, like, besides finding the lost colony? Oh, by the way, you guys passed $5,000. Congratulations.
Oh, wow, thanks.
what are some of the measures of success? Like how long you survive, how many ships you capture, how close you get to the colony, whether you find it or not, stuff like that?
Certainly whether or not you find the colony. We don't want to say too much about how that works, but certainly that. But also, probably the main number will be number of jumps. I mean, just how many jumps did you survive?
Number of jumps into new jumps.
Oh, so that's what that jump counter up there was for.
It's sort of like the one number that's your progress. Yeah. Since you don't know what's in a jump, each one's a risk. So, you can sort of look at that number as like, you know, if you look at like a roguelike, the level you're on, or like or how deep you are in the dungeon, it's just, this is how far you are in the galaxy, sort of. And certain things will scale based on that number. So.
Okay.
So, how far are you in this adventure?
That's cool. That's kind of what Weird Worlds does. It gives you a score, I think, based on how much stuff you found, how many battles you won, and how much time was left on the clock when you got back. I think you can see it for yourself. Definitely worth the $10.
Yeah, we'll get it and play it out and see.
It's a lot of fun. It's very funny as well. Now, I see you have a writer, so I'm guessing there's going to be some decent writing in this.
You can't
say that about every game. So what is going to be like the tone of the game and the writing? Is it going to be really serious? I'm guessing it's going to be kind of more on the wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of funny side because you have a fluffy biscuit company.
Yeah.
But I was just curious as to what kind of tone you're going for with the feel of the writing.
I think in general, like Star Trek is a great example. Like, it's just a huge variety. Like, there's a whole spectrum of emotions that show can cover.
Generally, I think, it's sort of a little bit uplifting, a little bit, hopefully comedic. A little bit of that, probably the general feel, but at times it does go and delve into that, like, fear and uncertainty, and at times it's sort of, we love the contrast, and we want to play with that a lot. So it really kind of depends on the sector, the scenario you're involved in. You find an abandoned space station. Now you're exploring this dark place with your flashlights, and there could be anything behind the corner. We play like this, you know, dark ambient music. And then after that, you could go fly your fluffy biscuit ship. I mean, like, we love the contrast that provides. We want to try to get the players involved in that.
So. Right. No, that sounds awesome.
But generally, if you sort of average it out, I think it should be fun. I think is what we're shooting for.
There's probably not going to be voice acting in the game. It's probably going to be all text based.
Good.
I mean,
good. It's better to have no voice acting than half-assed voice acting. I love my brothers in Europe, and I love my brothers and sisters in Europe. But some of their games, whoa. Just stop. It's your voice translation and your acting is terrible. Just stop. So, text is better because it's actually, I think, better for people who maybe, you know, can't, are hard of hearing, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah. So text is definitely
text. Plus it allows us to add more, like, in updates and stuff without having to go find another voice actor to play the new parts and stuff like that.
And that would cost more money, too, because voice actors want to get paid.
As they should.
You know.
If you want to translate the game, they have to find a whole new set of voice actors. I mean, like, whatever. But I think the text, there's also a certain amount of, like, imagination where you get to fill in yourself, allows for sort of, like, role-playing. And,
right.
And it allows your own mind and imagination to fill in the blanks. So.
Now, one of the let's talk about some of the stretch goals for your Kickstarter program. One of them is larger galaxies. Now, how big are the galaxies going to be by default in this game?
By default, they are about 80 to 100,000 light years across.
Mm.
That's the default. That's what we're playing with right now. Might tweak it, but and that's about 300 or 400 jump points or. Jeez. Points of interest. So, and with that stretch goal, what we want to do is add a whole new customization screen. So the customization screen will disable any sort of high score tracking. So you won't be able to create a galaxy and then get a high score because you've made no enemies or something. Right. I got 1,000 jumps because I made a huge galaxy with no enemies. But no, it doesn't work. But you can create a galaxy and go, hey, I really like the Fluffy Biscuit. It's just make, you know, 70% of the galaxy is Fluffy Biscuit controlled and this and that. You control the different rate of scenarios, the spawning in the galaxy. You really get to sort of tweak the galaxy to your content and go, yeah, I want a huge galaxy with.
So if you base whatever. Where the player puts the sliders when he generates his galaxy, that dictates the difficulty level, which would be a score multiplier. Therefore, if you want to get up higher on the, you know, you can dial it down whenever you're just teaching people how to play the game, and then you can turn it up when you want to actually try to get on the leaderboard.
Yeah, I mean, certainly.
That's that's an interesting point of view.
It allows the player to sort of, customize it, make a small galaxy or a big one, or we really want to put a lot of options there. Because one, it would sort of help us debug stuff, and two, I think it'd just be cool. I mean, you know, if you really like a certain type of scenario or a certain type of thing, boost that, or you like a bunch of different, you can tweak a galaxy to exactly the one you want to play in. I mean, you don't know exactly what it's going to create, but you get a little control. So we think that's pretty cool.
So if I can tweak it to exactly what I want to play in, that means that I can make it all zombies all the time.
Well, let it go, man.
If you get our modding,
let it go. I was going to ask about that next. One of the other stretch goal I was interested in is the modding support. Now Unity, that's what you guys are using, right?
Yeah.
I forget. Yeah. That's, I believe another guest was telling us that Unity isn't super moddable.
It is not. Yeah.
I've been fighting that.
That's one of the reasons why it's so expensive. It's mainly because we need to get our hands on the source license.
Yeah. We've already got a contact at Unity, so it's ready to go. So we're ready to get our hands on the source license and get that ready. We just need a lot of money to get the source license.
How much is a source license?
Well, we can't really say it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think they would be happy.
But let's just say, I guess you could sort of tell from the stretch goals, but but we can't. We're not really allowed to say. So
wow.
I think it's pretty common. Usually, they don't put that on their website. You have to kind of like call them to get a quote. And I think it also varies from project to project.
Yeah. But it's not really one price. It's, you are coming to us. We'll offer you this price. But it's something that, you know, that was something we really wanted to do. And then we were playing with Unity. We're like, we just can't get modding in here. It just doesn't, you know, we're fighting the engine. So we went, hey, let's contact Unity. Let's see if we can get a source license. And just, we can edit it to our heart's content. So we get all the internals of the engine. And we can go, hey, I want to, that would, unfortunately, be what we need to add modding. I wish it wasn't, but it is. So Unity does everything else. Just unfortunately, that's its one weakness.
Yeah.
And it's something we really wanted. We wanted people to be able to add their own ships, planets, and scenarios and everything. We want people to make the Enterprise. We can't make it ourselves, but due to legal reasons, but we can, someone else can. And then we could maybe play it.
Wow, present.
Or other things, whatever. Yeah.
It's probably fine as long as you don't charge for it, then they probably won't. You know?
Exactly.
So they're going to be able to...
Yeah, we can't charge for it.
How is the construction system going to work? Like pre-made components and you snap them together? Or do you just go in?
There will be pre-made components, and you'll also be able to import your own models and textures.
Oh, wow.
So that's the ultimate goal. So really, you can make a whole model. 15
minutes after that mod tool comes out, there's going to be like a giant space penis flying around with turrets.
Guaranteed. But...
Damn.
That's just the world of modding. You gotta, you know...
It's okay. Yeah, we'll get up.
No one has to download it, so...
Exactly. So...
That's true.
That's certainly something...
No, I meant I was going to make it.
Well, I guess we'll host it on our website so people can download it.
That sounds like a decent place to wrap it up, because I'll be honest, I'm losing my mind. I'm
oh my God, Brian, don't end it on the space wiener, please. I don't want to go down like that.
Dude, go down on the space wiener?
No.
Is that what you just said?
Oh,
is that what you just said, man? I just want to be clear.
Wow.
And once again, Brian crosses the line. It's what I do. I find a line and cross it.
No, it's cool. We can quit now because you've been worse than me. So we're good.
Oh, well, you know, it's the mix of the German and the Jew. It just makes me an asshole.
But an internal conflict.
Exactly. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been a very illuminating discussion. I hope it really helps even more so explain how awesome your game is going to be, because it sounds awesome. And I'm very excited about it. I mean, hell, I'm just excited about walking inside a spaceship. But the other stuff is like icing. You know what I mean? Yeah, the other stuff's like, it's gravy. It's gravy on the fries, or however you do it in Canada. I think that's how they do it. But, yeah, George and Justin, right? That's who I'm talking to.
Preston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Preston. Oh, see, I told you I'm losing my mind. I get to a point of tired where I just start going. But thank you, George and Preston, for joining us tonight. And good luck with your Kickstarter. Like, it just passed 5,000. So you're already an eighth of the way there. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's amazing. Well done. That's awesome.
So they don't actually eat French fries with mayonnaise in Canada, do they?
It's gravy.
Gravy's okay.
I think it is gravy.
No, I've had French fries with gravy. I think it's a Canadian thing. I could be wrong. We might get emails, but I think that is a Canadian thing.
Have you ever had fried pickles?
But it's really good. Fried pickles, no. I've had fried Snickers bars at like the county fair.
That's borderline nasty, but fried pickles are right where it's at.
No, the fried Twinkie was much nastier than the fried they'll fry just about anything at a county fair now, but the fried Twinkie was way worse than the Snickers bar. The Snickers bar it had the nuts in it, it crackled, it really worked, you know. But the Twinkie just was like an explosion of awfulness in your mouth.
did they batter it first, or did they just drop it in?
I think it was battered, but that didn't help. it didn't help at all. Yeah. Anyway, I should stop talking.
Yeah. Right.
So, George, what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten at a fair?
Oh God.
I don't know. I haven't been to many fairs.
Yeah, that's fried cotton candy.
Where are you guys? Where are you guys located?
South Florida.
Oh.
It's pretty hot.
But he still has a moose out his window though, because you thought he was in Canada.
There's got to be fairs. No, I didn't think they were in Canada. For some reason, I just said fries and gravy, and I remembered it was a Canadian thing. I didn't think they were in Canada. I just knew they were on the East Coast somewhere. Me.
Well, Canada actually does run all up and down the coast.
I know, but it's a big country. It runs all down this coast, too.
Yeah, the Canadians do. They've infiltrated.
with their niceness, with their apologies and their niceness.
Oh, wow, dude, you could have your cupcake people... you could have a faction in your game be Space Canadians, because nobody has ever done that before. And every time they shoot you, they apologize.
No, I don't think they have done Space Canadians. They've done Jews out in space, but I don't think they've ever...
There has never been Space Canadians.
Every employee of the Fluffy Biscuit Company will end their dialogue with,
Would you like some maple syrup on that? You could have tankers in space hauling maple syrup.
That's awesome.
And then those would be stolen, and there'd be a maple syrup shortage, and it would be terrible.
Millions of people cried out. Track morale on planets, and you go like raid the shipping lanes, and you
see. This is what happens when I get tired. Shit, just
this is awesome. You should start your podcast all the time around this time. This would be awesome.
Okay, Jim. From now on, we're starting the podcast at 9 p.m. my time. I'm going to be exhausted every time. Maybe drunk. I'll start drinking around 8, and then
Brian Rubin in space.
Maybe I'll black out again. Like I did last week.
Yep.
I don't know.
I'm going to stop recording now, though. Because I recorded.
Yeah, stop recording. Good night. Good night, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for having us, guys. Bye. Thanks.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler. Sure thing. Guys.